This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPad, iPod, Android, Kindle, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
About a standard orbit, Mr. Chekhov, and take us in.
I say.
You will obey. It is the word of Landru.
Joy to you, friends. Welcome to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated show about the original Star Trek series. This is a show where we dive into the characters, concepts, cliches, and other things that don't start with C about the original series. My name is Drew, or Landru. I'm the TOS editor for the network, and with me today is my co-host Mike from Commentary Track Stars.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much. It's good. Podcasting.
Yeah.
As
me too.
As the youngsters call it. How convenient.
Yeah.
I just sold all my Rock Band equipment, because I don't have my 360 anymore, and I went to the game store. They actually found one that actually accepts them. And I was like, I've got everything but the USB microphone, because, you know, I started podcasting with that thing, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's what we used when we first started podcasting. And I go back and I listen to those original episodes now, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'd rather not listen to those old episodes where I used it, but in an emergency, it could be used.
Yeah, I actually bought a Disney Sing It game for the PS3 just so that I could get the microphone, because it was cheaper than buying a microphone by itself.
Yeah.
So if you now that you have a PS3, if you want to sing to some, I don't know, who are the Disney artists, Vanessa Hudgens or Miley Cyrus or whatever.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's not Disney cartoons. It's
It's like their artists, like Ashley Tisdale, and
You kept the game. You keep looking over like it's right there.
Hang on, I'll grab it. Hang on. Yeah, we got Vanessa Hudgens on here, and the girl from that movie with Emma Stone. What's her name? She was on Hellcats. Then we've got Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana.
Together?
Yeah, Allie and AJ.
That doesn't seem possible.
That's what they're called, Allie and AJ. I forget what was that movie that she was in? Easy A. Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay.
Good stuff. So if you ever want to borrow it, just let me know. I got it right here.
No, that's fine. Thank you. All right. Anyway, this week, we're going to not be talking about Disney pop stars, because they don't really fit in with, thankfully. I mean, who knows? With all the weird casting coming out for Batman versus Superman, we may get, Miley Cyrus in Star Trek 3.
There's nothing weird about the cast. I'm not even going to get started about how that's not an issue at all, and how I've never not seen a movie because some dude was cast in it. Internet. Oh my God. Anyway.
I figured we could use some more banter. No, that was... That was good banter. This week, we're going to discuss godlike aliens in the original series. I chose one godlike alien or race from each of the three seasons. And we'll talk about how they got their powers, what they used those powers for, and how Kirk outsmarted them.
Yeah. It was like a thing. I mean, people, always sort of talk about the cliches of the original series and sort of the touchstones, and facing off against a godlike being is definitely one of them, They even do it in the movies, It's kind of crazy. But
so we've got the three sets. The first one from the first season everyone's discussed Trelane.
Yes.
From the Squire of Gothos.
Mm-hmm.
And the arguments whether or not he's a Q I mean, looking at all these other godlike creatures, how are we going to say whether or not someone is a Q or not?
Yeah, there's an interesting case to be made for it, but at the same time, I mean, obviously, that wasn't their intention. It's not like Roddenberry was sitting there going like, you know, 30 years from now, I'm going to start up another show, and it's going to have like a godlike being, just one godlike being this time, because, you know, that makes a lot more sense. And this guy is going to be like a part of that. No, obviously not. And it's not like when he was creating Q, he was like, oh, remember that character Trelane? Let's say that he would. No. But if you want to make it fit, fine. You know, just kind of like Roddenberry was talking about, like the Borg being the Borg homeworld in the motion picture. You know, that's one of the plans they pass over or whatever. Obviously, that wasn't the intention. But you could say it was. There's nothing to contradict it. And if you want to go all expanded universe on it, which we can talk about later on, then yeah, he is. So
if George Lucas has taught us anything, it's that we can go back and say that we intended anything from the beginning.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So Trelane, whether or not he has a machine that gives him, helps him focus his powers, maybe.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's born with these powers.
Yeah. And there's that great moment where Kirk is like, oh, it's a machine which is doing this. I totally got this. You know, I know how to destroy machines. I'm really good at that. And he destroys the machine. He's like, yeah, see, look at me. Look at me, how awesome I am. And it doesn't work. It's a great moment.
Yes. And Trelane still has his powers. So we've got here we've got a race of aliens, because his parents show up who are non-corporeal, is Trelane non-corporeal and just chose a corporeal form? Do they have corporeal forms when they're young, maybe?
No, I think it's quite clear, especially considering the form which he takes and the fact that he was able to create all the other stuff around him. I think that it's quite clear that like a Q, he can create a body to live in, but he doesn't have to live in that body.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah. I forgot that Qs are technically whatever they want to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So what does Trelane do with his godlike powers? Unfortunately, he kidnaps the crew and plays with them.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah. He just wants toys.
He's a little kid, you know? Little kids like to play. And, I mean, I've had original series action figures that I played with as a kid. I mean, I can't blame the guy. If I had a real life Kirk and Spock, I would play with them too.
That didn't come out right. So Trelane is young. He's got all these powers. He's just using to play with them. Like you said, Kirk figures out, ha ha ha, he keeps wandering around near that mirror. Maybe it's not in his narcissism, maybe he's got something back there. So he manages to challenge Trelane to a duel, which makes Trelane give him a pistol, which he then uses to shoot the mirror, and doesn't stop Trelane, it just makes him more angry. So then he plays an episode of The Most Dangerous Game. Yeah. And runs around chasing him. And Kirk defeats him by grabbing his sword and breaking it.
Yeah.
And telling him, no, you're a bad little boy. And then his parents come to back him up. So it's kind of Deus Ex Machina, maybe, in that Kirk survived long enough for the parents to come, because I'm sure Trelane could have still wiped him from existence.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's convenient, but whatever. It works well enough for the story. And that moment where he challenges him to a duel, because of that stupid blooper reel which plays at every single convention I ever go to, I can't help but see that scene when he says, "Are you challenging me to a duel?" And then they cut back to the thing and everyone starts laughing. I can't help but think about that every single time I watch that episode. Drives me crazy.
I've not seen the blooper reel that much.
Don't watch it.
Hopefully for things like that. Yeah. Some 20s TV show.
Yep, it's hilarious. the first time, the second time, the 35th time. Doesn't ever get old. What do you think about Squire of Gothos in general? Are you a fan of that episode?
Oh, the episode? I think that it's fun. It's not as fun as others where, I mean, even others that we're going to talk about here, like the crew made to embarrass themselves. It's a good episode. I like that it's about, you know, even children of gods are, you know, rambunctious children. I mean, I've always liked Squire of Gothos. What do you think about it?
I like it. Yeah, I think it's definitely the best of the three that we're going to be talking about today. I like the character of Trelane. I think it's sort of the most solid of the three conceptually. And I think also since it was the first one here, it wasn't like they were trying to, you know, I kind of get the impression that in some of these later things they were like, how do we make this different from the one that we did already, you know? And some of the stuff that they came up with was rather contrived. But I think that this one's a pretty solid, simple premise, and I enjoy it.
In the second season, we got a few more gods, most of them computers, but one of them that we'll talk about today is Apollo, from whom mourns for Adonis. And he is one of many aliens who visited Earth, a gallant band of travelers who visited Earth 5,000 years ago. And everybody, because they had powers, everybody worshipped them as gods. And so that's where the Greek gods came from, ancient aliens.
Yeah, which is a concept which became really big, I think, in the 70s, right? With the Chariot of the Gods, you know, that kind of thing, or mm-hmm. whatever it was. And it was actually even considered as the premise for the first Star Trek movie at one point, I think. It's an interesting idea. And, you know, it's a good way of sort of explaining, you know, some things like that. And I think that that part of it is pretty cool, conceptually. Mm-hmm. There's some things in it which annoy me, but whatever.
It reminds me a lot of Stargate.
Yeah.
How all of the ancient gods were aliens, but they had technology, and any technology is indistinguishable from magic. I forget the exact quote. But these are aliens who just have the powers innately. They have an extra organ for some reason. Like, that's the only difference that McCoy could find.
The magic organ.
Yes, it gives the god organ, maybe.
The god organ, yeah.
And it allows Apollo, because he's the only one left, to channel his powers and use them to grow and to strike people with lightning.
Yep.
And break their phasers. And grab. Oh, I forgot the best part. The giant hand to grab the saucer section of the Enterprise and threaten to squish it.
Yep. Yep.
Because if I were a god, that's what I would do. Rah.
Why not?
I've got you now, Enterprise.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Green Lantern ring where, you know, if you have that power, you're going to manifest it in ways which make sense to you. So you think, I need to grab this ship. Well, obviously, I'm going to grab it with my hand. I'll just need a really big hand. It makes sense.
So maybe Apollo is a Green Lantern?
He could be, although he doesn't seem very noble. Don't you have to be noble in order to be a Green Lantern?
I don't know. I didn't watch the movie.
I don't...
I was upset at the casting of Ryan Reynolds. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't think that you can use the movie as the basis for anything related to Green Lantern. Sorry.
So, Kirk eventually figures out that Apollo gets... Well, Scotty figures it out, that he has to run away every time that he uses his powers to, like, recharge. And they figure out that he's gaining power from his temple. But don't they also say that he gains power from worship and, like, love and adoration?
I guess he could gain power from both, right?
Maybe he stores the love and adoration in the temple.
That could be, yeah.
I mean, maybe that's why you would have to worship in a temple, is that it stored all that power for them.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what the columns are for. Mm-hmm. The columns, they store things, I don't know.
Maybe.
But Kirk defeats Apollo by shooting the Enterprise phasers at the temple.
Which is nice. I like that.
Yeah, which is...
practical.
I was going to say it's not often that they use the ship's phasers like that, but I'm thinking of at least two other instances where he uses the ship's phasers like that.
Yeah, yeah. It works.
Like in Piece of the Action where they shoot on stun.
Right, and they stun everyone. And
the one where they blow up Val, and yeah, there's... Yeah. There's a lot of instances where they just like shoot the ship at the ground. Do it.
Yeah, why not? It works.
But Apollo is left alone and powerless, and they leave with his girlfriend that he had made, the woman of the week.
Yeah.
Where, as we learned from Mark Cushman, that originally she was going to be pregnant with his baby.
Oh yeah.
Apollo baby, son of Apollo. But that didn't happen. It wasn't in the episode, so it's not canon.
No.
It wasn't even animated.
Nope.
So, what do you think about who mourns for Adonai?
I think that it's a fun episode. Every time I watch it, it's one of those things that I like to laugh along with. I think that it was the first Chekhov episode, right? I want to say.
I think so.
And it's his hair is amazing in that episode. And I love the sort of like banter that he has. I mean, I think that they kind of pulled it back later on, but like the original portrayal of Chekhov in this episode, I think I kind of wish they would have pushed that a little further. But there's, you know, stuff like where he's like, "Hey, Captain, blah 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 blah," and Kirk's like, "How old are you?" And he's like, 22. And he's like, "Okay, then shut up." You know, things like that. You know, I mean, I thought that was really good. I think that it is really funny the way that Scotty is, you know, because he's like got a huge crush on the woman who Apollo falls in love with, right? So every time that Apollo's like, "She's my woman," Scotty's like, "No, you hold on a second." And Apollo's just like, "Boink, shut up," and then like shoots him across the room with like a lightning bolt. It actually reminded me a lot of that the episode of Futurama with Welshie. The you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of it. I've not seen.
You've never seen Futurama. That either? Do you just not watch cartoons? Oh my god! It's that one could be canon too. That was written by a Star Trek writer, Goodman. Oh my god, watch that episode. We actually should do...
Is this the one with all the...
Yeah.
The cast?
Right. I think it's called Where No Fan Has Gone Before, I believe is the name of it, right?
Oh, okay.
We should do an episode on that episode. We should, because it is amazing. Oh my god, how have you not seen that? You would love it. It's like the best episode of Futurama. And it's like all original series stuff, but they have like this gag in that where like Welshie keeps on getting electrocuted. But yeah, it reminded me of that, and it's a lot of fun to watch, even if it's not that tremendously good of an episode. You know, I enjoy it, so maybe that does make it good. Yeah,
I agree with you. I like the costumes. I like the togas. It's always fun to have everybody in togas.
Mm-hmm.
It's got ambitious special effects.
Yeah.
Like giant Apollo and the giant hand and stuff. Some of which were remastered and other things that couldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they were in the live plate. But overall, I mean, it's kind of sad. It's another one of those things where, you know, here's a society that wants you to stick around and is kind of forcing you to stick around. And really, they're not all that bad. They're just kind of lonely. And then Kirk blows them up and gives them the middle finger and flies away for the cleanup ship to take care of. And But it's fun. It's fun. I like it.
Yeah. It's not bad. It does. I mean, like, after learning, you know, some of the stuff from Mark Cushman and everything about Gene Coon and his sense of humor, like, I see that coming through here. It's a very lighthearted, funny episode, despite the fact that it doesn't seem to be that on the surface.
Well, season three came along, and unfortunately, we don't know much about it because Cushman's book hasn't come out yet. But there was one episode, at least one, that had another race of godlike beings, and those were Plato's stepchildren.
Yeah.
The infamous Plato's stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't understand why they had to be Plato's stepchildren. We've got a group of alien travelers that go to Earth, they hang out with Plato for a few days, and then they go to live on another alien planet. And they don't really, like, spout Plato's doctrines or anything, right? They just kind of...
Yeah, I guess not. They're just like, oh, that Plato guy, he was cool. He had some interesting ideas, you know? They took a semester of philosophy in college when they were on Earth, and then they were like, yeah, we're Plato's stepchildren. And then, you know, later, the name just stuck, you know?
It was their hipster group.
Right, exactly.
That they hung out at the coffee shop.
Right. And then, like, 2,000 years later, they're like, oh, man, why did we do that? We should have called ourselves, like, the Beatles or something. That would have been a way better name. Whatever.
So they leave Plato, and they find an alien planet, and they stick around there, and they find that they get supernatural abilities the longer that they stay on the planet. Everybody except for... a little person, Alexander.
Yeah.
And the Enterprise crew comes, and of course, well, not of course, but one of their members is sick, and they can't use their powers to help him, so McCoy heals him using McCoy powers.
Yeah.
And then they want to keep McCoy. And, of course, Kirk's like, no, you can't keep McCoy. So they decide, well, then we'll keep everybody. And they use their mental powers to force everybody to entertain them. There's a memorable scene where Kirk rides the little person like a horse.
Yes.
And that's something you can't unsee. So if you've not seen that, I would advise preparing yourself.
Here's the thing about the entertaining, right? They were like, let's show... these people entertaining themselves by using the crew for like a really long time. And the thing that they didn't consider was whether or not the audience watching the show would be entertained. Because the answer is no, they would not. And yet you have to sit and watch this for like a good 30 minutes with basically no plot development whatsoever. And it's just like, what is going on here? What is going on in this episode? I just don't know.
It does have the first interracial kiss on television between Kirk and Uhura. Whether or not you believe which take it was in the final cut, I believe even if it was just implied, it's still, you know, groundbreaking.
Yeah, that's true.
That they would allow it to be portrayed because... who was it? Nichelle says that the take was the real kiss, and Shatner says that it was the fake kiss.
It certainly looks like it's a fake kiss. It does not look real. But yeah, and that's cool and everything, and it's good that they did that and were pushing boundaries in that way. I still think it is kind of weird that the first interracial kiss was one which was forced upon the two participants. And as my wife brought up last night when we were watching the episode, to do something that progressive and follow it up with a white guy whipping a black woman, maybe not the right direction you want to go in after that, but, you know, whatever.
I can't speak for it because I've not read the book and know what NBC had to say, but maybe that was part of the
deal.
I mean, maybe that it was forced... Maybe that it was forced was part of the reason why they let it through.
Maybe. Maybe. You
never I won't know. Touch the other part.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, NBC was like, okay, you can have him kiss, but then right afterwards he needs to whip her.
No, I was going to leave you to say that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Either way, every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah, it's all right. It's all right, I guess. I don't know.
You're like, yes, no, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of problematic. But what can you do? I don't know.
So Kirk figures out, well, McCoy figures out that it's the food, the local food, that has some kind of additive, not additive, but like a natural ingredient that gives everybody mental powers. So McCoy makes like a concentrated amount of it and gives Spock and Kirk double the dosage that so that they've got more midichlorians in their blood than Yoda.
Yes.
And I'm going to go kill myself now.
Yoda's got midichlorians.
Sorry, I mentioned midichlorians.
It's canon. Don't worry about it. It's canon. And apparently it exists in the Star Trek universe too, so it's all good.
So they shoot everybody up with midichlorians, and Alexander, the little person, is finally going to kill the person who's tormented him for years, the leader, Parman. And Kirk stops him with his mental powers, and they both, Parnum and them, try to get, Parnum and Kirk try to get each other to stab each other, and then Kirk spares Parnum's life, and is like, Alexander, don't kill him. You know, you need to forgive him because he just let all the power go to his head. And Parnum says, you're right, I did, I'm sorry. And Kirk says, good work. And he flies away.
Yeah. But he takes the guy with him, right? He takes Alexander with him because he's like, we have a little guest with us or something like that. Something, we have a little surprise. And I'm just like,
a little surprise for Scotty.
Yeah. And it's like, don't do that. Don't do that, please.
Does that make Keenser canon? If they know that Scotty likes little surprises?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. It's just like, really? You're doing that? Oh, God. Well, progressive in some directions and not so much in others. Whatever.
Progressive in one direction.
Sort of.
Non-progressive in every other direction.
Yeah. Yeah. What can you do?
It was the 60s.
Yep.
Equality wasn't there quite yet.
Yeah.
And then I think about, you know, Code of Honor, and then equality still wasn't there in the 80s.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Let's be fair. It's 2014 right now, and equality still isn't here. So, you know, we've got some ways to go. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the episode Plato's Stepchildren? I mean, I think I've kind of gathered.
Yeah. I think it's really, really bad. It's quintessential season three in a lot of ways. It basically has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. It's extremely boring and kind of offensive 99% of the time, but it rests on that, you know, one little thing which was legendary and groundbreaking and historical, and maybe it shouldn't. Maybe it should just admit that it sucks.
Do you... Now, I've not really, really thought about this and weighed and measured, but do you think that it's... I kind of think it's the worst episode of the third season.
Oh, there's so many. See, I hate, like, doing worst episode things, because if an episode was really, really bad, most of the time I won't remember it. I can't. I can't imagine it being the worst episode of the third season, but I couldn't tell you what was.
I guess the most unforgivable sin would be forgettable, and this episode is far from forgettable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
It made you feel. It didn't make you feel what it wanted you, what it necessarily wanted you to feel, but you had feelings about it.
It made me feel. Made me feel anger and hatred and yeah, all those things which Star Trek
that leads
for.
To the dark side.
I guess so, it does, yes.
If I keep quoting Yoda from episode one, you have the permission to drive down and beat me senseless.
I like episode one. And that scene in the trailer where he's like, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to the dark side. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the best movie ever made. So yeah,
You can't top that trailer.
I can't hate on Yoda. No.
On the original trilogy forums, we call him CPY, Creepy Puppet Yoda.
Yes.
Because there's just something off about that puppet.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's gone now. He's no longer.
Yep. Thank you, George. You did something right. Well, as a surprise, we'll throw in a fourth godlike creature from the movies, the fourth season. Well, besides the cartoons, the fourth season, which it's really easy. Cybok hears from God. God says, come to the center of the universe. So he steals the Enterprise, goes to the center of the universe. And God says, yep, I need a spaceship. And Kirk says, nope. And then Spock shoots him with a torpedo.
Yeah.
He wasn't really very powerful. I mean, he shot people with lightning eyes, but it didn't kill them. And one torpedo managed to make him pretty useless.
Yeah, I mean, the character in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, I think is interesting. I think that movie gets kind of a bad rap. It's not like it's great or anything like that, but I do enjoy it. I guess what I enjoy more is the stuff early on with the character interactions and everything. But there's an interesting thing I think that William Shatner was trying to go for in that movie. And I think, as is well documented, you know, the budgetary constraints and also the constraints of sort of like sticking to Roddenberry ideals and stuff like that limited the stuff that he could do with it. And in the end, it ends up being kind of weak sauce. But it's better than Plato's Stepchildren.
but the betrayal of the godlike creature, I mean, he's pretending to be godlike. I mean, and he's the only one we're talking about today that he doesn't really have power. I mean, I guess he has the power to, like, reach out to susceptible Vulcans and give them powers to wipe people's pain from them, mm-hmm. unless that's a Vulcan power.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't really thought about that. Who is responsible for that power? It's interesting.
I'm sure it's something. It's probably a mind meld.
Could be. Yeah.
Ideal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Spock can make Kirk forget the woman in Requiem for Methuselah, then, you know, they could wipe people's pain from them.
Yeah. 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 I could see that. I don't know. It's interesting. But then, I mean, the thing that you got to think about, too, with a lot of these godlike beings and whether or not they have godlike powers or whatever is, I think, lots of times the idea behind this is to say that, you know, they are false gods, you know, mm-hmm. maybe that there's more to it than meets the eye. And that's why they're not as powerful as you would think that they are. Maybe that's part of it. It's like, look at this. He's a god. No. Not really. He's can just shoot some lightning bolts out of his eyes and make rock monsters off screen or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Theoretical rock monsters.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much it on gods in original series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just one thing I would like to say that I love the fact that the God movie is co-written and directed by William Shatner, who, to me, is like a god on Earth, right? Because he can do no wrong. And look at all the amazing stuff that he's done, the joy that he's brought to people's lives through Rescue 911, TJ Hooker, Miss Congeniality, kidnapping of an American president. He's the best.
Yes. Amen. All right. It's been fun talking about how Shatner is a god today. But that's just one of the Trek topics we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Hal Sutherland and the Animated Series.
I don't like the animated series. It's not good. However,
see, that's the kind of stuff that makes me forget about it. Would you rather me watch Deep Space Nine or the animated series?
Okay, but now that you're
done, we made that choice.
Now that you're done with Deep Space Nine, you can move on to the animated series.
Earl Grey.
TNG reboot.
I have a lot of problems with this concept of let's just do the next generation. I don't think it's possible. To me, a big part of Star Trek is like this aspect of exploration and finding out the unknown and going out places we've never been.
The Ready Room.
The Wire.
He's basically becoming a good Federation citizen, and that's causing a huge amount of conflict. And maybe even before he was here, that's what got him here, is that his inner ideals made him a bad Cardassian.
The Orb.
Esri Dax.
Which to me, she really seems like, you know, that boy or girl now who's gotten out of college, is living at home again, and not really sure what they want to do with their life because nothing's turning out the way they thought it was going to. Which is funny because her character is actually more relevant now than it was then.
To the journey!
Voyager Season 3 Marathon.
Being a child of the 90s, and I hadn't watched this in a while, I realized, oh my gosh, how things had changed and how things hadn't changed. Rainn Robbins's gigantic cell phone with the huge antenna and her hippie van, the lava lamp. I mean, I just loved it all. It was very groovy.
Warp 5.
Enterprise Season 5.
Well, they could find, I mean, more excitement in the decon chamber with this whole trip Trantipole love triangle thing for sure.
Yeah, the Andorian fight scene in the decon chamber. Think about it.
Wow.
Commentary, Trek stars.
Robert Hewitt Wolf, Andromeda.
I suppose the easiest way to describe them would be a bat, who lead living hosts for their young.
They're kind of like I'm going to say xenomorphs in Alien, even though Max would kill me for saying that.
Yes, and I dare say he will when he listens.
Literary Treks.
Protectors with Kirsten Beyer.
Again, it's just you look at realistically as you possibly can, you know, coming that close to death, being in the continuum, I mean, what's that going to do to someone? And I struggled for a long time figuring out how to have her, again, realistically work through all of those things.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and get in on the daily Trek Talk. You'll find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Windows Phone, Xbox, Zune, or you can stream and download files from the website. Just visit trek.fm/pd for podcast directory to get all the links. So here's where to contact us if you'd like to pledge your loyalty to God Shatner. You can go to trek.fm/contact. There's a form there. Choose to send a show and choose Standard Orbit. That'll come to both of us by email. You can also use the tab at the right-hand side of any page to send a voicemail using your webcam's microphone. And you can talk to us and other listeners in our forums at trek.fm/forums. In social media, you'll find us on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm and on Twitter under username trekfm. You can find me on Twitter at 005, DOUBLEOFIVE. And Mike, where can people find you?
You can find me on Trek FM, where I do commentary Trek Stars with my co-host Max. And you can find me and Max on commentarytrackstars.com, where we do commentary Trek Stars off topic with our friend Brandon. And you can find me on Twitter at comtrackstars or email me at comtrackstars@gmail.com.
Before we go, we'd like to ask you to please support our sponsor, who makes it possible for us to bring Standard Orbit and our other shows to you each week. Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. There are numerous classic TOS books on Audible, as well as some of the all-time favorites like Prime Directive and Federation. Mike, what is your selection, your curation for this week?
Well, you know, I haven't read a lot of Star Trek novels, but I have read Star Trek The Next Generation Q-Squared, which was written by Peter David, who is one of my favorite comic book writers. He did an amazing run on Hulk for years, and he did Aquaman and Supergirl, a lot of Star Trek comics. He's awesome. And he even took my picture. And this book...
Oh, yeah.
He did. And this book is a book that I read back when it first came out, and it was awesome. It's called Q-Squared. And The description, as it appears on Audible, is, "Captain Picard has never encountered an opponent more powerful than Q, a being from another continuum who is dangerous, obnoxious, mysterious, and seemingly all-powerful. But now, Trelane has tapped into an awesome power source that makes him more powerful than the entire continuum. Q warns that Trelane has become unspeakably dangerous. This time, the stakes are all of creation." And it's read by John Delancey, and it is awesome. It's got like three timelines, and you see like alternate realities in which like Jack Crusher survived. He's a character from Next Generation, just so you know. And okay. And some other stuff, and you've got like all these parallel things. Like I think Picard and Crusher like hook up at one point. It's amazing. It is amazing.
Jack Crusher?
No. No, but it's great. You gotta read it, and since you're a listener to Trek FM, you can read it for free on Audible.com.
That's right. As a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic books you've yet to read or the latest novel from your favorite author as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. And we thank you and Audible for supporting Standard Orbit and Trek FM. Also, if you'd like to personally support Standard Orbit, the network, and our programming, visit trek.fm/donate. We have 8 alien-themed badges and art prints as a thank you for your contribution, and you can mix and match badges and art prints. There are different levels of donation to choose from, and your contributions help us cover the cost of production, storage, and bandwidth needed to bring Standard Orbit and our other shows to you every week. That was Gods. The Gods Must Be Crazy, we tentatively titled this episode.
Yep. It was fun, you know? Gods in Star Trek. Always a weird concept.
Yes.
But they kept on going back.
Always had an interesting concepts.
Yes. Yes.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a good week and keep on trekking. It is the will of Landru.
Mr. Chekhov, take us out of orbit. Ahead, warp factor 1.
Hi, sir.